Our sermon picks up the scripture from Matthew. We're reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. When they had heard the king, the Magi, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Thank you, God, for leading us into this new year with all its new challenges and new opportunities. I got the idea of doing a word for the year from a colleague I greatly admire, Reverend Dr. William Lee of Virginia. He's retired now, but when he was serving Loudoun Avenue Christian Church, each year he chose a word to make the focus of their work and worship and service. I like that idea, and I've used it in several churches I've served. Do you remember what our word was for last year? Well, I guess it didn't. It was dare, remember? So, when choosing a word, it's not like I just pluck one out of the air and decide to make it fit. You know, I always rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance, for the prayers I pray, for the sermons I preach, and for the decisions I make. And so, of course, I waited for her to give me the word of the year for 2023. It came to me way back in October, just springing forth in a moment of calm and clarity when I wasn't even thinking of anything. It just popped into my head. The word is enough. This year, we're going to explore and live what it means when God says we have enough. We'll take a walk in the wilderness with the newly freed Israelites as they discover how God provided for them enough of what they needed to survive and thrive. We'll sit on a hillside with a bunch of other seeking people and see how Jesus provided enough food for everyone there. We'll probably wince as we listen to the prophet Hosea scolding his fellow Israelites because they have enough and still aren't satisfied. And we'll learn to believe in God's promise that no matter what we think, we have enough of everything we need. We've heard the word enough used here at FCC Ruidoso a lot, but in a way I want to change. We often lament that we don't have enough people to serve at the community dinners, or enough people to sing in the choir, or enough people to be ushers and greeters, or enough people to work on the soundboard. But I want us to learn this year that in spite of this woe is us attitude, we really do have enough of everything we need. When we think of human terms and count heads and dollars, it does indeed seem as though we don't have enough of what we need. But when we think in spiritual terms and trust in God to provide everything we need, we will learn that we have enough and more than enough. I want us to start living in a spirit of abundance, not scarcity. Yes, we can acknowledge, and we do acknowledge, our attendance numbers are low and we often have a budget deficit. But what we do have is enough of God's Spirit dancing around us, challenging us to think differently, to think out of the box, and to offer praise and thanksgiving, no matter what circumstances around us look like. And then we can see God's abundance, where instead of just seeing a lack, what it entails is everybody stepping up and doing a little bit more, getting out of their comfort zones, doing whatever they can to serve God through serving our church and serving our community. Maybe I'm being idealistic. Maybe you're shaking your heads at me and thinking, oh, Tanya, you dreamer, get real. But I've seen God come through in many mighty ways in my life, and I know I can depend on God to see us through in 2023. Here's just one small example. I think about the time I shipped into Oaklawn Park Racetrack in Hot Springs, Arkansas, with about $50 in my pocket and no place to stay. This was when I was racing horses. Back then, they didn't allow women to stay in rooms in the barn, so I had to find a place and quick. I went to lunch with some co-workers and just happened to look on a bulletin board in that restaurant we just happened to pick, and found a room not far from the track that just happened to be available right then for $50? That's why I believe like this, in this notion of enough, because I know, I've seen it. God did it once, and I know God can and will do it again. You'll see it too. Remember Joseph and Mary? How when they were in Bethlehem, they couldn't find a place to stay, and God provided them that barn where Jesus was born? Coming to the story about the visit of the Magi, we need to realize that this was some time after Jesus had been born. The Holy Family were no longer in the stable, but they were now in a house where there was just enough room for the three of them now, another provision from God. Then came the unexpected visit from the wise men. These men, and we're not sure there were just three, and who can say they didn't bring their wives or servant girls along with them in their undoubtedly sizable caravan? These travelers knew all about enough. They were wise enough to realize that the appearance of an unexpected star meant something spectacular and special had happened. They were intrigued enough and curious enough to set out on the long journey from Persia to Judea to visit and honor the new king. They had enough confidence that the star would lead them the right way and would not leave them until they found the king they sought. They were bold enough, they had chutzpah enough, to go to Herod and ask him if he knew where the king, Herod's rival, was. They were open enough to hear the prophecy that told them to go to Bethlehem in Judea to find Jesus. They knew enough royal etiquette to understand they couldn't go to a king without bringing gifts for him. And when they found Jesus, they were humble enough to bow down and worship him. The gifts they brought were products of the riches of their own land, special enough for a king, special enough for a special king. We often wonder why in the world would the Magi bring Jesus things like frankincense and myrrh? These were expensive spices, but what good are they for a baby? What would Poppy do if I brought her frankincense and myrrh? What could a baby do with these things? Were the Magi subtly hinting with their gifts at what would happen in Jesus' life? Did they know of the words in the psalm that said, "They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord"? Because that's exactly what they did. These items were mysterious enough to send a message about this child's true identity. Priests in the temple used frankincense in worship. Of course, we know that Jesus is our high priest who assists us in gaining access to God. So yes, it was an appropriate gift. But did the Magi know that? Myrrh was used for medicinal purposes, and so it was apropos for our great healer. Yet it also symbolized Jesus' sacrificial death because it was used for embalming and when preparing a body for burial. I wonder if Mary saved these spices for the day of Jesus' burial. Mary, did you know? Now the gold, of course, we can all relate to. Who doesn't like getting a birthday card with money in it? Money is one size fits all. The Magi were supposedly seers and fortune tellers, but did they know that soon after their visit, Mary and Joseph would have to take Jesus and leave Bethlehem and flee to Egypt? Herod was incensed when the Magi didn't return and tell him where the so-called king was. He was mad enough, emotionally mad and mentally mad, to decide to get rid of the unknown usurper by murdering all the young boys in Bethlehem. One of them had to be the one. Herod was shrewd enough, or thought he was shrewd enough, to cover his bases. But an angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt to escape Herod. Joseph was alarmed enough and faithful enough to gather his little family up and go. And that gold definitely came in handy for them. It was enough to get them to Egypt and help them live there, and it was enough to get them back home to Nazareth when the danger was past. Before that, the Magi had enough of Herod. They had enough sense to know Herod's assertion that he wanted to worship Jesus too was a lie. They had enough discernment to listen to the Holy Spirit telling them to go home another way. They were ready enough to meet the Messiah. Are we? We need to be more like the Magi, more in tune to the majesty of enough. We need to bow down and worship Jesus, bring him our gifts, acknowledge his royalty, his priestliness, his sacrifice, his love. We need to remember this year and always that Jesus is enough. Let us pray. Show us, God. Show us, Holy Spirit. Show us that Jesus is enough, that with him and through him, we have enough of everything we need. Make us discerning and receptive enough to follow your leading and rely on your provision. Holy God, we give you thanks here and now for the lessons of abundance and ability that we will learn this year from you. Amen.